Is it time to reevaluate the world, to sort of take a step back and really think about why there are conflicts and terrorism and why states fail? Is it time to rethink, or is it time simply to re-establish the principles of the Atlantic civilization? Have we forgotten how great its principles are? Ludger Kunhardt has written a great article called The Atlantic Civilization and Its Enemies, and he joins us now from Germany. Ludger, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on your program, Amanda.
Well, what is the story about the Atlantic civilization and the failure of so many parts of the world to look at us, if I can call it that, and say, gee, that's a good idea, I think we'll do that?
Well, I think the story is about two pillars on which our modern societies, Western societies, are based. On the one hand, it is about, as you said, democracy, the way we manage public affairs, our notions of politics, and good governance. On the other hand, it is about openness towards others, the way we deal with not just our neighbors, but in a way with the rest of the world, and how we integrate, how we connect with others. And this is what started in the Atlantic area, following, as you rightly said, the American Revolution. And it has, needless to say, included Australia and your country's development over time. But today we are seeing that a good number of countries is governed well and also economically connected in the world market, complying with international standards and norms from WTO to the UN and international law, while others are not. And I think this is the watershed for many problems and maybe even conflicts to come in the years and decades ahead, I believe.
Well, if Western civilization, Atlantic civilization, looks at the rest of the world now, what do you think we should learn from that?
Well, basically two things, namely that, generally speaking, Western structures, Western realities, if you like, have become universal. You find soft drinks of a famous brand in the last village on every continent. And you find also Western structures of statehood, the very concept of the nation state, national sovereignty, a flag, a president, constitutional courts, parliaments, and somewhat the idea of democracy, etc., everywhere around the globe. While on the other hand, and I think we have to relearn this, in very many cases, the preconditions to make these structures really work have not developed with the structures. And in some cases even we see that the very content of what we mean by democracy, what we mean by rule of law, is different in certain places. If you take Russia and the arguments which have followed the annexation of Crimea, of course we have heard a lot about the democratic right of the Crimean people to choose the state they want to live in, etc. But in reality, we have also seen that violence was used as a prolongation, as another continuation of politics. While, again, in the classical understanding of Western civilization today, the use of violence for political purposes means that politics has failed altogether. We do not longer believe in the Western civilization that violence is a legitimate means to reach political goals. So here's one example where Western concepts or Western terminology is used, but filled with a very different content.
Well, is the failure of so many around the world to look at what the Atlantic civilization countries are doing, the failure of other countries to say, let's do that, is that a failure of the leadership in the Atlantic civilization countries to in fact sell their story, to sell our story?
I would give three elements of an answer. One is, yes, it is a failure of leadership. Second point is, we also need to be patient. These things have not grown in Western countries overnight, and obviously it takes more in certain parts of the world to really absorb the very content and to root solid structures of governance and statehood. Take the current Ebola crisis in West Africa. This is not just about a medical issue, a very serious and grave medical issue. It is basically about governance failure in many of these countries where lines of command in the health system do not really work from the health minister all the way down to the last village hospital or the way undertakers deal with people who have died. So this is more than just a medical issue, and it takes, as I said, time to root certain elements of the many dimensions of how our modern states work in many places. But thirdly, it is also about the way we interact with countries in search and societies in search of developing into a common world order. There are so many positive examples. We should not only go away with the idea that the whole world around us is sort of falling apart. I think that would be a misunderstanding of the current situation. There are many success stories around the world, but there are also serious challenges because of internal conflicts, because of leadership, because of an insufficient understanding of what it takes to make modern statehood work. And there is also a deficit for us in explaining really what a modern, globally connected state is all about. I think the Western world often has been in danger for a long time of hubris, and today we are seeing too much maybe of self-critique, and we immediately jump at looking at what is wrong in our own societies, and this is all fine and fair, and it's part of the strength of our societies. But to explain who we are and how we develop the way we have gone so far takes more than just, you know, fancy soap operas and superficial entertainment programs on our television stations.
Oh, look, I'm not sure about Germany, but I can assure you in Australia we have a very large quantity of superficial, if you can call them entertainment programs on our television. Now,
radio, sorry. Both in your country and in my country and elsewhere, and it's just time now to talk again and to think what it is that holds our societies together and how we have developed the way we have into the current state, not only of our economy, this is not just about GDP statistics, but really it is about the heart and soul of our state, of our understanding of rule of law, and eventually of our civilization.
Well, you make the point that the Atlantic civilization needs to redefine its foundation. Do you mean by that redefine as in change, or perhaps another way of saying it, rearticulate its foundation?
Probably rearticulate is a better word. If you look back to, you know, the decades, for instance, of the Cold War, during this time, unintentionally, one has to say, the Atlantic civilization, the Western civilization, and again, I reiterate, including Australia and New Zealand, was held together by a common frame of mind, namely the idea we have to defend freedom against Soviet totalitarianism wherever it may come up. Yes. So there was a common frame of mind. I think we have lost a lot of this in the course of the last 20, 30 years, just feeling good about, you know, a world without a fundamental ideological and military threat. But in the course of this, I think we have also somewhat lost credibility for others to see and to sort of accept and believe in the strength of this civilizational concept. And we lost also somewhat trust among ourselves in the ability to do things together. And these two dimensions, credibility, honesty about who we are, and strengthening trust within our societies and between our societies, I think this is really high on the agenda today in order to reinvigorate and reiterate the foundations of the civilization we live in.
Well, in that context, the negotiations for the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership would seem fairly important, wouldn't they?
Important, because in my view it is not just about trade, it's not just about chlorine chicken and all these kind of issues which are now discussed also in controversial ways. It is really about reorganizing a common frame of mind in the core Atlantic area between the two biggest markets and closest partners the world has ever seen, the US and the European Union. And this is why TTIP, this Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, is much more than the name or this fancy acronym might carry.
Indeed. Ludger, it's a fascinating article you've written and a tremendous subject for young people to focus on and, I think, look at and say, gee, what has this civilization done and what more could it do if it worked more effectively together without wanting to make ourselves one homogenous blob of countries, but to focus on the sorts of things that we do have in common and are vitally important. Look, I thank you very much for joining us today, and I hope, Ludger, we can talk again.
With pleasure, Amanda. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your program.
Ludger Kunhardt is a professor at the Institute for Political Science and Sociology and director at the Centre for European Integration at the University of Bonn. And his article, Atlantic Civilization and Its Enemies, was published in The Globalist. You're on RN. You're listening to Counterpoint with me, Amanda Vanstone. The Rats of Tobruk were Australian World War II heroes. 14,000 Australian men, with some English and Indian troops, gallantly held the Libyan port of Tobruk for 8 months against the German troops led by General Rommel. I've always thought it was odd that these heroes were called the Rats, but it related to them digging in and holding on. In any event, in an entirely different sphere, we have some new heroes that are rats. And in these circumstances, they really are rats. These rats are doing a remarkable job, and we're about to cross to Laos and a not very good phone line, incidentally, to find out what that job is.